If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. You know, this week, I think Charlotte or Rex, one of the two, I believe Charlotte sent me a funny email. I sent it maybe to Rex and I that kind of goes right along with what I'm talking about today. You may have seen it. In the email it said, "Miss Go-Ahead and Gossip Harriet, the church gossip and self-appointed supervisor of the church's morale, she kept sticking her nose into other people's business." Several residents, however, were unappreciative of her activities, but they feared her enough to maintain their silence around her. She made a mistake, however, when she accused George, the new church member, of being an alcoholic. When she saw his pickup truck parked all afternoon in front of the town's only bar, she commented to George and others after seeing it there, and she knew that he was an alcoholic because she just saw his truck parked there at the town's only bar. And she commented to George and others and about that, and George, being a man of few words, just kind of stared at her after what she said, and then he just kind of walked away. Didn't say anything. He just kind of walked away. And later that afternoon, though, George quietly parked his pickup in front of Harriet's house, and then he left it there all night. Well, Harriet the gossip doesn't say much anymore. She's kind of been branded. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. "And this I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, after being darkened in the understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality, for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth." You know, there's a show on TV that I like to watch, and maybe some of you have seen it too, but it's about bad art on skin, ink that people have inked on their skin. It's a show where people have made some bad choices about tattoos, permanently inked on their skin, and they go to these artists to create this new artwork and turn something that's more pleasing or more acceptable, that's more pleasing to them, that they've made they had a bad tattoo put on their skin. And so they won't feel conscious about the choice that they made that would haunt them. And so I want to talk to you today about being branded today. Branded is what I'm talking about today. But if you've got a tattoo, relax. It's not that kind of a message. So, you know, a lot of people have gotten tattoos or brands, and some of them wish they wouldn't have, some of them wish like they have, but somebody says a tattoo or a brand is a permanent proof of temporary insanity. I don't know about that, but I want to talk to you today about this permanent ink and these brands, what they have to do with our spiritual life. And so, you know, I think the strategy of Satan can be summed up in this approach, that he's a master at drawing us into sin. And once he draws us into sin, he begins to label the person, and to get that person inwardly to accept this failure and shame and condemnation and guilt. And he loves to brand it on their brain. He loves to brand an image of failure and guilt and shame and all of those things. And once he draws you in and you fall and you mess up, he wants to brand you with that sin and that failure, and so that you constantly think of it and live a life of shame and regret. And then you begin to hear this voice inside of you that says, you're beyond help, you're beyond hope, and you're worthless and you're no good, and you should be ashamed, you're a failure, and you'll never amount to anything, and you just might as well give up. And you hear that voice on the inside, and you become badly branded. And you see, that's part of the devil's tactic, and is to accuse us and to attack us and to condemn us, and over and over and over again. And he wants to brand or tattoo that on our brains so that you see yourself as a person of failure and of shame and as a person who's messed up. And so you'll never get over that. And that's what the plan of Satan is in all of our lives. You know, I've been in the ministry for some years now, and I've met a lot of people like that. People that Satan has branded with that image in their mind and of themselves, of shame and failure in their life, and they accept that. And they believe that inwardly, and it starts to sabotage things outwardly. And it's just a matter of time when they believe that inwardly, it's just a matter of time when it starts to show up outwardly. When you believe something like that, when you have it tattooed on your mind. You know, the Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks, so is he. I mean, if you're going to feel like a born loser and they have an attitude that if anybody's going to fail, I'll fail. If anybody's going to lose, I'll be the loser. If anybody's going to mess up this great opportunity, it'll be me. Because that's who I am. That's what I do. I was born to lose. I mean, you've got to be pretty branded in your brain to take drugs over and over and over. And somewhere, somebody, the enemy has branded in their brain that this is all you're ever going to be. I mean, you don't have any reason to take these drugs or not to take these drugs over and over because your life is one of a born loser. I mean, you've got to be pretty branded in your brain to take bottle after bottle or day after day or relationship sexually, relationship after relationship, one after another, all ending in kind of a crash and burn type of relationship. I mean, they go from one person to another. Something happens in the brain that causes people outwardly to feel that way. Just last week, it happened to one of our hospital chaplains who took his very own life. A hospital chaplain. Something happened in his mind. To badly brand him. But you don't have to be badly branded by depression. Because God heals your mind, He heals hearts, and He heals broken spirits. You know, in 1886, Walter George broke the world record in running the mile, and he ran it in 4 minutes and 12 and 3/4 seconds. And then in 1923, a man broke a record that he had in 4 minutes and 10 seconds. And it took 36 years to shave off 2 seconds. For 36 years, Pablo, who broke the record, held that record for 31 years, and nobody could beat it. But then in the 1930s, two men who were living in Middlesex, England, both of them were diagnosed with the same, in the same hospital by the same doctor to have the same disease. And that disease said that those two men, they would never walk again. They would be confined to the wheelchair for the rest of their life. And one of those men accepted what the doctor told him, and he was confined to the wheelchair, and he never walked. But the other man didn't accept what the doctor told him. He made this statement. He said, not only will I walk again, I will run. And it was a long, sad story. Many thousands of attempts to get up out of that wheelchair, and he failed at it. And he kept trying, and he kept trying, and he kept trying. Until one day, his body just seemed to unlock. Those stiff, rigid limbs just kind of unlocked. And he began to slowly walk. And he kept after it, and slowly he began to jog, and he began to run. And history records that on May 6th, 1954, in Oxford, England, Roger Bannister broke the record for the first time in human history, and he ran a mile in less than 4 minutes. He ran it in 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds. He broke the 4 minute mile. And even though he was told he had a disease that he would never walk or run, he did it. And he became the fastest man in the world. And when Roger Bannister did that, something happened to the other athletes in the world. You see, they had been branded in their mind that nobody ever can run the four-minute mile. Nobody can ever run faster than the four-minute mile. But when he broke through, suddenly, the psyche of all the sports people in the world changed, even though they had been branded in their mind that tattoo nightmare, so to speak, that said it's impossible, but when somebody else did it, then suddenly they began to think, maybe it's possible. They were told all of their life, for year after year after year, nobody can ever break the 4 minute mile. And that brand was removed when Roger Bannister did it. And in the next 4 years, 25 runners broke the 4 minute mile. And then in 1999, a man broke that record in 3 minutes and 43.13 seconds. That's just crazy. That shows you the power of a new mindset. Now here's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. So later, the doctor visited the other man in the hospital who had the disease. The doctor examined Roger Bannister and he said, "You absolutely had the disease. You shouldn't have been able to walk, not to mention to be the fastest man in the world." He said, "But you defied what you were told and you didn't accept what I told you. You overcame it in your mind and you overcame that." But the other man who was examined by the doctor, who stayed in that wheelchair, he said these words. The doctor told him these words. He said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "You were misdiagnosed. You don't even have the disease. And all of these years you've been sitting in a wheelchair because somebody put that thought in your mind and you accepted it, and you've sat there in that wheelchair all of these years." You see, Roger Bannister, he had it and he wouldn't accept it, and he became the fastest man in the world. And I'm saying to you today, don't be overcome by the devil's brand in your brain. He'll tell you that you can't live for God, and he'll tell you that you can never be free from what's holding you down, and he'll tell you that you can never be anything, that you're a loser, you're a born loser. He'll tell you that your daddy was a drug addict, and you'll probably be one too. That's all you're good for. You'll never get beyond this, but you don't have to listen to that. You don't have to learn to refuse the devil's brand and understand that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And if God knows how to remove the tattooed nightmares that the enemy thinks that he can put that image on your mind of who you are, the blood of Jesus Christ turns losers into winners. The blood of Jesus Christ turns one-liners into climbers and overcomers. You just don't have to live that way. Romans 12 says, "I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, and that you not be conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might be able to but that you might be able to prove what is good and acceptable to the perfect will of God. There's something called the renewing of the mind that when the enemy seduces you and pulls you into this failure, the enemy tries to brand you with that image, tries to tattoo your brain that this is who you are, this is who you'll ever be, now just accept that. But then there's something called the renewing of your mind that the Word has to offer that can begin to happen. And that's why when you come to church, you're shampooing your thoughts with the Word of God. You're cleansing and renewing your mind. And if you see yourself as that person in the wheelchair that can't ever get up, then you'll never get up. But if you get renewed in your mind like I know the Word of God can do, then you'll do it. Then you don't have to accept that brand on your brain that is sent from the devil. Look at Moses. His mother said to him over and over again, "You're not an Egyptian." In Exodus 2 and through 4, "You're not an Egyptian. You're not an Egyptian. You're going to go to that palace, but you're not an Egyptian. Don't listen to him. You're not an Egyptian." She made sure Moses understood his image of "you're not an Egyptian." She made sure she understood of who he was. She kept putting that image in his mind. "You may become Pharaoh one day, but you're not an Egyptian." So one day he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And he went there and he stopped him and he ended up slaying this Egyptian. And he ran for his life. And for the next 40 years, he lived on the backside of the desert. And who knows what all the devil tried to brand on his brain. I'm sure the devil said for 40 years, "You're a failure. You're a loser. You're even 80 years old. You're too old. God can't even use you. You messed up. Just accept who you are now. Just give it up." And Moses spent time talking with a burning bush that was on fire that did not become consumed. And while he was talking with that bush, God started erasing this brand that was on his brain and started renewing his mind. And God said, "I am your deliverer. Go tell Pharaoh the great I am that I am said, let my people go." And I'm talking to you today that enemies have told you that you're maybe too old or there's too much that has happened to you in your life and God can't use you, but God's got good stuff coming your way. And if you'll just refuse those devil's mind brand that he's put on your mind, you'll go far. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 ran out of money. And when he ran out of money, famine came. When someone runs from God, it's just a matter of time when famine comes. Amen? And listen how the enemy branded that boy's brain. Now he's a hog slopper. Now he's eating out of the pig trough. And the Bible said he had a fault. He came to himself and he said, "Father, Daddy, I've sinned against you. I'm not fit to be called your son. So let me just be like your servants." You see how the enemy had branded his brain? He said, "You're less than. You're a born loser. You're not even worthy to be in the family, you filthy, sorry thing." It's how the enemy brands your brain. And here he comes home in his filth. And when his father sees him, his father comes to him and he begins running and he puts on his best robe and he covers him and he puts on his best shoes and he puts them over those muddy toes and he has the best ring and he slides that ring over his crusty, sloppy hands. And he says, "Oh, my son," he says, I want you to be fully restored to the family business because, God, I've been waiting for this day. I've been longing for this day." And what he's saying is, don't let the devil brand your mind and make you feel less than a full-blown child of God. Don't let the devil brand your mind and make you feel less than anything you are. You're not just a servant. You're his child and he has completely restored you to the kingdom. And this is where I want to get to. The process removal of removing a brand or a tattoo is called laser removal. Two things are required to do that. What happens is when somebody wants to remove a brand or a tattoo, a bright laser goes on the tattoo. Now, if the skin were just lying on the table, it would burn the skin up if a laser light hit it on the skin beneath the skin here. But that alone won't remove the tattoo. It's not enough. It would just burn the outside of the skin. But when it hits the skin, it begins to work with the blood. It takes the two, the light and the blood, light coming from the outside and the blood coming underneath the skin. And the blood starts cleansing the skin from the inside and the light starts cleansing it from the outside. And suddenly that brand or tattoo there gets erased by the light and the blood. It's the two working together, the blood and the light, that burn out that indelible brand or tattoo that someone thought was permanently engraved. And there's only two things that can burn out that permanent engraving, and that's the light. And the Bible says that the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path in Psalms 119. The Word is knowledge. The Word is light. So the Word's working on the outside. And it's hitting that image that Satan says you're a born loser, and the Word starts messing with it when it hits it. But then the blood of Jesus says on the inside in response, let me help too, because you can't do it just through legalism. You can't fix it through just the law. You can't fix it through just the light only. This is the Word. It takes the act of mercy and grace. And what you can't do, the blood of Jesus can fix it on the inside. It takes the act of mercy and grace. The two. So you got the blood of Jesus' miraculous power, the cleansing blood working on the inside. And there goes the shame. And there goes the condemnation. And there goes the self-hatred. And there goes the image of all you'll ever be of a born loser. And it's in John 8:36 says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed when it's gone. In closing, there's a story, a true story, about a bear captured as a little cub. And he was raised up in a zoo. Not a zoo, but one of those traveling carnivals. And the people there were kind of abusers of animals at that place. And this bear became full grown. And it lived in a 12-foot cage. And it would walk 12 feet forward and it would walk 12 feet back. All day long. From the time this bear woke up, and from the time it went to sleep, back and forth. And then it would start to sway kind of its head in a familiar way. And it would walk back and forth, 12 feet forward and 12 feet back. And 12 feet forward and 12 feet back to the end of that cage all day long while it was awake. And then people would come from all around. Word would get out year after year. And people would come to watch that crazy bear. And people, being as cruel as they are sometimes, would thump cigarettes and try to, at the feet of that bear, to try to break its cadence that bear had become familiar with, and the swaying of its head. And some would even break glass and throw it in the cage to try to cut its feet, to try to get that bear to stop that cadence it had. Because the bear hadn't stopped in years, going back and forth, 12 feet forward, 12 feet back. But one day, this man bought this bear, and he gave it to a zoo in Germany. And they took this animal that had been caged in this 12-foot cage, had been caged there for decades, and they put it in this huge open field with trees and caves and other bears. And then they let this animal out of this cage, and the truck pulled off. And the bear's standing out in this huge open field for the first time in his life, and there's no bars imprisoning him. And they sit there with the cameras and the press standing there. Everybody's live. And they watch this bear stand up, and he stands up, and he sniffs around. And the bear looks around for a moment. And then all of a sudden, he goes back into this familiar sway, back and forth. And then all of a sudden, out in this huge wide open field, he takes 12 feet forward and turns around and does 12 feet back. 12 feet forward and then 12 feet back. and there were no bars there to keep him. But something had happened. And they realized for the first time that no bars there were metal, but they were all mental. And I wonder how many people do the 12-foot shuffle back and forth. Back and forth. They just do the 12-foot shuffle back and forth. Back and forth to church. Back and forth and back and forth to church. Because the enemy has branded your mind to believe that this is all that you'll ever be. Back and forth to church. Back and forth to church. And you can never be free. You'll always be where you are. You'll always be with your same habits, with your same addictions, because you're used to that back and forth sway. Back and forth swagger. You'll always be bound. You can never get free from whatever's holding you back. You can never get free from anger. You can never get free from your shame. You can never get free from it, whatever it is. But I'm telling you this morning that there's light here and then there's blood here. And it can erase the brand or brands that's on your mind. It can erase the brands of shame and condemnation and the guilt of the past. And the Word says in Proverbs 16:6 that through mercy and grace, iniquity is purged. Because blood and light are the only two things that can remove the devil's brand. And so I say to you in Philippians 3:13, there's one thing I do, Paul says, and that's put those things which are behind me. What did Paul have to forget? Are you kidding? He was Saul of Tarsus, and he held the coats. And now he's the one who commanded Stephen, the first martyr of the New Testament, to become stoned, and he held the coats of the people that did it. And now he's got to go preach. And he's got to go to the families that he made orphans out of their children because he turned over their parents to be fed to the lions. And now he's got to go preach and write half of the New Testament. And so Paul said, and don't you know he had to refuse some brands that was on his mind. And like, oh God, I'm so unworthy. Oh God, can't you use somebody else to preach other than me? I'm the one who stoned Stephen and others. But Paul says in Philippians 3:13, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach for that which is before me. And I'm saying to you today that God can renew your mind through Jesus Christ. He gives you the power to refuse those devil brands or tattoos on your mind. And you can walk out of this place and be cleansed by light and by the blood. The past is over and I am free. And I believe today's message is speaking to you. And do you have brands of shame and pain or regret in your life? And I want to tell you that the enemy wants to brand your brain and make you live in shame. And in the past, in the hurt of yesterday. And I'm so glad that Jesus can permanently erase all of the enemy's tattooed nightmares on your mind and in your thinking. And you can have a personal relationship with Him today. And I want to invite you to receive this great Savior. As the worship team begins to play, you see, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin, all unrighteousness. It purges us from sin. And you can get those cobwebs out of your mind and by the blood of Jesus. The power of enemy to hold us captive by a thought, by a shame or a regret in our life, we can be free from that by praying this prayer. If you'd like to do that today, just pray this prayer with me. As we stand today, please join me in standing. If you're in this place today and if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you can do that today by praying this simple prayer of acceptance and grace in your life. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins and renew a right spirit within me. Wash and cleanse me in your precious blood. I'm ready to surrender my life to you, Father. cleanse me for your cause and for your purpose. And I thank you for a new life starting today in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, you prayed in faith and believed that prayer in your heart. Jesus Christ heard your prayer. It's called the prayer of faith. You may be familiar with that name. I want to encourage you today to let us know what's happening in your life. We're here today. Our counselors will be up front here as they come forward. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, if you confess me before men, you shall be saved. It doesn't have to be here. Call your mother, brother, father, sister, husband or wife, relatives. But tell them what happened to continue in your new walk with Jesus Christ. For those of you here today, the Spirit may be working in other areas of your life. Maybe some erasing needs to be taking place today. Could be the Spirit is touching other areas of your life that I haven't even mentioned. The word's like that. It searches the innermost being of our bodies, spirit and life. Maybe the spiritual healing needs to take place. Whatever it is, don't let the enemy brand you to keep you away from prayer, to keep you away from your blessing. We're here today to minister to you, to bless you, to pray with you, to anoint you. Whatever you need today, we're here for you. And as we sing and as you sing, come today as the Spirit leads. Desperate for you. Let us become desperate for you day by day. Hour by hour, let us become desperate for you, seeking you. For in that way we will find you. In our lives, in our spirits. Father, let us find you. Find that peace in you so that we can become safe in your presence. Father, give us power as your children to realize who we are in you. Give us the confidence to refuse the devil's branding when he wants to label us. When he wants to push us around, give us the power, the confidence that we need as your children to desperately seek you as we hunger for you and your righteousness, to lay aside the old things that drag us down, that weighed us down, to lay those aside, to let them die. As we rise up in the new creation that you've given us and walk in the new life and to realize who we are in you and to quit trying to walk in our old ways. Let us realize who we are in you. Let us realize the value of who we are. Let us see the decaying part of our old self of this world. The enticements that has looked so enticing, Father, of our environments that we live in. But let us look beyond that. Let us see what it does and how it affects us. Let us lay aside ourselves and live in you. Let the old flesh die along with its brands, along with its tattoos, and let us live in the new self that you've created in us, in the image of Christ. And let us be a fragrance of Christ to others as we learn to walk in that, to show your love to others around us in that. We pray in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed for us, for our sins, that we might walk in the newness of life. Amen. May you all have a blessed and peaceful week. God bless you all. Have a good day.